I am not ashamed of the gospel. The word gospel means good news, and it is good news about something real, something true, something essential. Messianic salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus. And this message, and this message alone, is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live by Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. I have a special guest today, and he's an old friend of mine, Jake Rosen. Jake has been a Jewish believer in Jesus since 1976. His parents were refugees after World War II. Both were Holocaust survivors. Jake was born in France, but has been a St. Louisian his whole life. He's from St. Louis. He's also been one of the pastors of Clayton Community Church since 1991 and is the chaplain emeritus of the St. Louis National Day of Prayer. And since 2008, Jake has led Shabbat services for a Messianic congregation, Beit Chesed, in St. Louis. Jake received a BFA degree from Washington University School of Art. Jake's an artist, and also a master's degree from Fuller Theological Seminary. Jake, thank you, my old friend, for being on Jesus Made Me Kosher today.
Well, it's nice talking to you, Lauren. Nice to hear you go on and on about me, you know.
Let another praise
everywhere.
Let another praise you, not your own lips. But
I'm
sure it's all true. Jake, give us your story. How did the living God, how did the three-in-one God of Israel, Father, Son, and Spirit, reveal himself to you, and that Yeshua is our wonderful Jewish Messiah? How has Jesus made you, Jake, kosher?
Well, same way he makes everybody else kosher, through the living God, through Jesus. But my story pretty much starts in University City. It's a suburb of St. Louis, and I was in high school. Art pretty much kept me out of trouble, you know. It was the early 70s, and a lot of my friends, you know, they would do drugs. I decided when I was at that time or before, I'd never do drugs. And also, somehow or another, earlier, I decided I'd never believe in Jesus. I remember those two decisions. So, and I'm pretty stubborn. To this day, I've never done drugs, you know. Except for, you know, when they did a little surgery on my leg and they gave me a little morphine or something. But
well, that doesn't count
voluntarily. So I'm kind of a tough customer. But, you know, there was a girl when my first day in high school, a girl named Roz Rogers, I think. She grabbed a hold of I was a little guy then, and she grabbed a hold of my collar and she shook me. And she says, "I'm going to be your sister-in-law." She was like in love with my brother, my older brother, Norbert. And she was part of a Bible study and some of these Christian people, you know. And I think she was praying for our family, you know. So anyway, I got through high school. I wasn't sure exactly what to do. We didn't know a lot of the ropes. My parents never drove a car, you know. They never knew how to drive. Our first car was a 61 Comet, and my brother... my brother Bernie was the driver, and you know we all took our turns. But I ended up going, winning an art contest there in high school, and going up to New York. And in New York, I went to art school, and I had a little apartment in Brooklyn, and I'd go to the Art Students League in New York on West 57th and 7th, and I worked for Henry Bendel on the weekends. And I had a lot of time to think, and I was excited. I was watching myself get better as an artist. Sculpture and anatomy, drawing, I was just getting a lot better. And but I had a lot of time to think, and I knew that I didn't, like if I was ever to have kids, say, and they asked me, you know, about God or the truth. I wouldn't have known. You know, I went to Hebrew school when I was a kid. I got bar mitzvahed in an Orthodox synagogue. But it was all in Hebrew. Everything was Hebrew. And, you know, I didn't know what I thought about the Bible or Jesus. We always did a Passover Seder. It was a mix, though. You know, everything was Orthodox in the shul, but on Passover we'd keep pretty much the line. I always fasted on Yom Kippur, but we didn't keep a strictly kosher home, and everything was a little inconsistent. You know.
Yeah.
I decided to come back from New York after a while, and I started learning bluegrass music. Some of my friends were hanging out with this family, the Carsons, and they had a meeting with really good music. I was learning bluegrass at the time, and the meeting was called Kibbutz. It was an outreach to younger people, and at that meeting, I ended up hearing for the first time that you could know for sure that you're going to go to heaven, and it had to do with what God did. And they defined grace. I remember this verse even before I became a believer. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that idea that I could be saved by just what God did for me, and it has nothing to do with how good I am. It's something I never would have come up with. I thought about all these different religions, and they all had the one thing in common, that everybody's trying to be as good as they can, and they're never really sure what the result would be. This was a whole other thing that seemed unique. And, you know, your synagogue, it's called Shema Yisrael. The Shema has to do with God being unique, being one. And this seemed like a message that was from God that was a very unique message. So I understood it. I sort of got uncomfortable with the idea of making some kind of commitment because, you know, I didn't think of myself as that interested. But so I thought I'd get away from these Christians. I wanted to leave town, you know. So my brother Bernie comes into town. We hitchhike away to a United Nations conference on human settlements he was going to for a month in Vancouver, British Columbia. And on the way, not 100 miles away from town, somebody, when we were hitchhiking out there, somebody comes from off the road on a motorcycle, hands me a gospel tract, and goes right up back off the road on a motorcycle. Never took off his helmet. It's very weird. You know, didn't say anything. And just handed it to me, not my brother. And it wasn't long after that. We were gone for a month. Came back, and one night I was laying in bed, and I had been like carrying a Bible around with me and looking into it, and I decided I wouldn't procrastinate anymore, and so I put all the pros and cons: is Jesus the Messiah, is he not? And then I decided he is, and then I had to make a second decision. It was in the middle of the night, at 3 in the morning or something, and my decision was I'll accept your gift of eternal life. And ever since then, my life's been turned pretty much upside down, but I'm still alive, and God's blessed me, and I've got a beautiful wife. We just had our 30th anniversary last week.
Mazel
tov.
We've
got two kids, but they're not kids anymore. One's in Nashville, one's in West Palm Beach, and they're doing great. And I like my life. I want to keep going for a long, long time.
That's great. I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
Your parents are Holocaust survivors. They're from Europe. How has the Holocaust impacted your family and you?
Oh, it's profound. We had last week was Yom HaShoah, was Holocaust Remembrance Day in Israel, mm-hmm. And we had a service. We've got this Messianic congregation called Beit Chesed. So that was our service on Friday night, Holocaust Remembrance. And my wife introduced this video that I found, and she was in her introduction. She was talking about how profoundly it's affected, our whole family. You know, we'll make jokes about, anytime something bad happens or whatever, some quirk, you know, we'll blame it on the Holocaust, you know. But it's my mom, in 76, not long after I became a believer in Jesus, she had an episode of depression. She was 11 when the war started, 17 when it was over. And she lost everybody, you know. And she was like she was a real go-getter, but right at that time, she took a big plunge. And later on, she was diagnosed with manic depression, you know. So I think that, you know, who knows what physically, you know, they're by the end of the war, you're starving, you know. And that was, you could find out some of her story if you go to jewish-painter.com or some of these, there's links to my mom's story. Her name was Bronya. And she passed away right after the in 2001. But okay. We don't have much family. That's one thing. I have my father had a brother, so he was here, and so they had one child, Lila, and she has had a few kids, but we don't really know them very much. And my parents had myself and my two older brothers. Bernie and Norbert, my oldest brother's passed away. Norbert lives in town, and I have a sister down in Tampa, and she's good. They've got one kid, you know, Bianca, and we've got the two kids. But I've got the family. Most of my family is through my wife, who was one of seven, you know. And
yeah.
So we just don't have much relatives. Also, you know, I don't know anything. Never met my grandparents. You know, it's just. It's a real hole. It's a real loss, and you know, that's just what it is. You know,
a couple other questions.
It's part of what I am. You know.
Yeah. Thank you for answering that. I know it's not always easy to talk about the Holocaust, especially for survivors or the children of survivors. But thank you for talking with us about that.
Sure.
You mentioned Henry. Is it Bendel or Bendel?
Oh, that was I thought it was a little boutique, but it turned out to be the fanciest department store in the world at the time, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was going to school at Art Students League of New York, and I saw some kind of an ad, you know, that this store needed somebody. So I worked in shipping and receiving.
You said you were getting into bluegrass, and were you playing an instrument?
Banjo.
Banjo.
Yeah. Sandy Weltman. If you go to sandyweltman.com, he's also a Jewish believer. He became a believer a little before I did, and he's just a wonderful musician. And he's like one of the best harmonica players in the world, really. But he did this wonderful CD called the Klezmer Nut House, where he plays harmonica and he plays banjo, and it's really good. Anyway, in learning bluegrass, I was hanging around with these different people, you know, and I remember hanging around the Carsons' home, and they were putting up some of these bluegrass players, Thane Bradford and such, and I was playing ping pong with them and everything, and they wouldn't. I was surprised that they wouldn't witness to me, you know, when people tell you about Jesus and stuff. I thought, well, that's what these people do professionally, you know. but one day Wayne says, do you want to hear a riddle? And I said, okay. So he goes and he reads one line at a time out of Proverbs chapter 30, and it's the first line is, who has ascended into heaven or descended? And he waited, and I said, I don't know. Who has gathered the wind in his fists? And then he waited. Who has gathered all the waters in a garment, you know? And then he says, who has established all the ends of the earth? I said, God, you know. And what is his name? And I said, well, we don't pronounce his name. And then he says, and what is his son's name, if you don't know? And that really went home to me. And I didn't see it as a really pushy kind of a, like, you know, try to talk you into something. Then he just sort of left it alone, and you know, he went back to whatever else he was doing.
That's good. So he was planting some seeds using Proverbs 30, verse 4, which is a really powerful indicator that God has a son.
Yeah, and I know this son, you know. I've gotten to know him over the years. He's He's good.
He's very good. Hey, you know, the world basically says Jews can't believe in Jesus. If a Jewish person believes in Jesus, he's no longer Jewish. But you and I know that that's not true. Do you feel more or less Jewish now that you are a Messianic Jew, a Jew for Jesus?
I'd say more Jewish for a number of reasons. One is because immediately my belief structure was altered. You know, before I didn't know, I was unsure. And then as I accepted the Lord, his ruach, which means wind or spirit, came into me. And the things that I was reading in the Bible came alive. I could understand it better. Okay? And so I believe, you know, you go through the Passover Seder and the, you know, all the plagues and the sea opening up that people go through. I believe this stuff, you know, so you can't get much more Jewish than that, right? I was told before I became a believer, okay, you can be Jewish and believe in Jesus. Okay, so that, I mean, logically it makes sense. If Jesus is the Messiah, accepting him, he's Jewish, right? It's Jewish Messiah. It doesn't mean you're less Jewish. It means theoretically that that you're Jewish. You know, on a practical level, sometimes people, you know, you're not connected with the synagogue necessarily. You're not connected to this or that. But we were blessed in our church. You know, in the church that I ended up in, Clayton Community Church, they grew out of this Jewish outreach called Kibbutz that I told you about. It grew out of that outreach, and it's maintained a Jewish emphasis. And back in 82, when my wife and I were married, we took over that Jewish outreach. So we've had, we've been doing these things for years, ever since then. And before that, we have done all kinds of Messianic or Jewish Christian-based holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach. We used on Shavuos coming up, we used to go down to a cool place. Our son called it the Rocks in the Water. It's called Johnson Shut-ins. We'd go and read the Book of Ruth all night, and we'd eat dairy and blintzes and stuff down there. Anyway, we've done that ever since. Forever.
Really?
Lately, in the last couple of years, like you said, we've been leading a Messianic congregation. Well, we really restarted it a little less than 2 years ago, right in our own facility. And it's been really exciting because our worship leaders are the age of our children, you know. They're like in their mid-20s. And we're just having a great time. We never really tried to start a Messianic congregation before, and it fell into our laps, and it's exciting.
Your church, Clayton Community Church, is kind of unique because it takes Paul's call, you know, Romans 1:16, which we start the show off with all the time, you know, the gospel is to go to the Jewish people first. Clayton Community Church takes that as a real contemporary priority. Why do you think that is?
Probably has something to do with Wayne and Carolyn. When they first came to St. Louis, they came to interview for a job with the Midwest Messianic Center. Moish Rosen, who is before Jews for Jesus, Moish Rosen, he was with the American Board of Missions to the Jews. He was in town. He was going through town. And he's the one that interviewed Wayne and Carolyn. And they ended up being trained by him in New York for 6 months before they ever started working in St. Louis. So that had a lot to do with it, I think.
I like Wayne and Carolyn. I've known them
for Jews for Jesus, and that's what they were taught.
I know Wayne and Carolyn. I've known them for years, and they're just a wonderful couple, and their love for our Jewish people and bringing the truth to our Jewish people is just wonderful.
Hey. Yeah, it's been a wild ride. It's been very good. I've appreciated him being one of my pastors, and I've appreciated working alongside him for years.
Jake, you're an artist. You're keeping up with your artwork. You're doing art. Tell us a little bit about your artwork.
Did you go on to any of those links and take a look at all, Lauren? I mean, are you just asking me out of nowhere?
I am asking you out of nowhere.
You know what I'm saying. It's we have some. I've got some websites. Jewish-painter.com. If you go there, then you could see a lot of paintings that I've been doing. A series out of the Book of Isaiah. See, Isaiah is a poet. It's like Handel did the that beautiful Handel's Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about these works of Isaiah. Well, his work lends itself to this artistic expression because he was such a dynamic poet. The poetry that he did was not so much rhyming. It was it has to do with structures, and he uses chiastic structures a lot, very symmetrical structures. So I do these very, very large paintings, and they've got autobiographical elements in them, and they've also got elements of abstract expressionism, and they've got a lot of calligraphy in them, and they tell a story. They're narrative, and they try to take imagery that he spotlights and uses in his books, and it tries to highlight the same things that he highlights. So I did the first one I did was the last 27 chapters. It's called Nachamu Nachamu Ami, Comfort Comfort My People. And what Isaiah does is splits those 27 chapters into three sections of 9 chapters each with this phrase, "There's no peace for the wicked." So I've got that sort of like a hinge in a triptych form vertically. And so I have three panels, and the three panels represent the first 9 chapters, the middle 9 chapters, and the last 9 chapters. And the middle, you probably know, is Isaiah 53. So I've got this arm coming up and a wedding ring on it, and I've got Holocaust imagery laid on top, symbolizing the sins and griefs that Jesus bears. Anyway, if you go to Jewish-painter.com, you can see a lot of this stuff.
Jake, I haven't been to that website yet, but I do want to visit Jewish-painter.com and take a look at some of your artwork. Thank you so much for being on the show today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. If you had one last thing to say to a Christian about Jewish people and Jewish ministry, what would be that one thing? One final parting thought.
Okay. Lauren, if it was a Christian in Detroit, the last time I was at your place, it was very inspiring, meaning the congregation Shema Yisrael. And, you know, I when I think about places that I'd like Beit Chesed to grow into, it would be a place like that. And the key element is that it's a normal place where you could bring a Jewish friend and they'd be comfortable and they'd be able to grow in their faith in a Jewish way. So if you have a friend that's at all interested and willing to maybe check it out, take him to Shema Yisrael over in Detroit.
Jake, that is really nice of you to say that. I appreciate that, brother.
Well, why not? Some, you know, sometimes it's not one thing, one conversation. Sometimes it's just, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. So you bring someone in an atmosphere and it's a whole, you know, they can come back on their own, you know.
Very good. Well, Jake, thanks again for being my guest on Jesus Made Me Kosher and sharing your life story and how the 3-in-1 God of Israel reached down to you and brought redemption to you in the midst of your family surviving the Holocaust. And I thank God for you and your life and, you know, your wonderful wife, Jeannie, and your children and all the wonderful things you're doing to serve the living God. So thank you. Thank you, Jake.
Thank you, Lauren. God bless you guys and your Aliza and my Aliza. All the different ones.
You've been listening to Rabbi Lauren on Jesus Made Me Kosher. And tomorrow I have a special guest, Dr. Bob Shyrock from Oak Point Church. And we're going to be talking about the Each Outreach. Some important events coming up this week, the prayer walk in Detroit on Saturday. So please join us again for Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the 3-in-1 God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.